Nishmini.
I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
Don't give me the conspiracy bull. Come on. You're a more intelligent man than that. Come on.
Drogerija podaja vojni proti drogam, reguliranih zdravilih, ljudeh in družbah, ki uživajo te ali one psihoaktivne snovi. Drogerija, vsako drugo nedeljo opoldne na Radiu Študent.
Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni v Drogerijo. Za začetek naj povemo, da se po ljubljanskih ulicah in verjetno še kjerih drugih po Sloveniji ponuja nova droga, imenovana mefedron. Droga se je prvič pojavila predvidoma v Izraelu leta 2004, v letu 2008 pa se je razširjala počasi po Evropi, predvsem pa v Skandinaviji, na Švedskem, Danskem, Norveškem, kjer je zabeleženih tudi nekaj smrtnih žrtev na račun uživanja te snovi. Mefedron je sicer najnovejša izmed drog, ki smo jih dobili na trgu. O njej se izjemno malo ve, tudi znanstveniki, pa zdravstveni delavci in tako naprej vedo malo o tem, tudi na raznih blogih, kjer, oziroma forumih, kjer se ljudje pogovarjajo o svojih izkušnjah. So sicer pozitivne izkušnje na račun te snovi, a vendar se resnično malo ve in vsi opozarjajo, da vsak posameznik, če že mora probati to novo snov na trgu, seveda izjemno pazi na cel potek, na količino užitega, na mešanje z drugimi snovmi in pač opazuje sebe in pa svoje fizične reakcije na to snov. Mefedron, omenili smo pred kakšnim mesecem, ko smo govorili o MDMA-ju, snovi v ekstazijih in pa raziskavah, ki so po desetletjih končno dosegle nek konsenzus, sicer ta, da snov ni toliko škodljiva, kot se je doslej predvidevalo. Seveda so tudi s to snovjo marsikateri problemi. No, takrat smo omenili, da je MDMA-ja vedno manj, da pa se pojavlja neka nova snov. Takrat smo rekli temu sintetični kat, dan že vemo, da temu pravijo mefedron. In sicer gre za snov, ki je po delovanju blažjega učinka po učinku, nekoliko blažje od MDMA-ja, tudi delovanje pod vplivom tega je lažje oziroma ne zapadamo v prevelike euforije. Prav zaradi tega pa so mnogi strahovi, zaradi tega, ker pač je distribucija MDMA-ja po zahodnem svetu vedno manjša, recimo na Švedskem, kjer so zabeležili ogromen mefedrina v lanskem letu, so obenem zabeležili zmanjšanje uporabe ekstazija, naprimer, če samo pogledamo statistike zaseženih drog, se je zmanjšalo to za enkrat iz približno 45.000 tablet zaseženih v letu 2007 na približno 25.000 zaseženih tablet v letu 2008, medtem ko se je znatno povečalo število, oziroma neznatno, začeli so prvič zasegati tudi tablet, prah, ki vsebuje, bel prah, ki vsebuje pač mefedron. Mefedron je, njegovo kemično ime je 4-metil-metakatinon, je kemično gledano zmes in pa podoben metamfetaminu, spidu in pa katinonu. Katinon je aktivna substanca alkaloid kata, rastline, ki se žveči v jemnu, vendar pa seveda je 4 meta katinon, 4 metil meta katinon, pardon, torej mefedron, popolnoma drugačna substanca, ki pa deluje, zdaj seveda se o tem zelo malo ve, ampak ker je analog meta katinonu, lahko povemo, kaj se ve za metakatinon, učinki pač mefedrona naj bi bili še malo bolj drastični, farmakološki, kakor pri metakatinonu. Ta se je uporabljal v Sovjetski zvezi kot antidepresiv v 70-ih letih, 60-ih in 70-ih letih. Tudi v Ameriki se proučeval v 50-ih letih kot kandidat za antidepresiv, ampak so takrat za čuda farmacevtski pač farmacevtska firma, ki ga je raziskovala, ugotovila, da so možnosti za zlorabo in pa za nastanek odvisnosti prevelike, da bi ga vključili v svojo ponudbo tako imenovanih zdravil. Mefedron pa naj bi se farmakološko gledano razlikoval od metkatinona v smislu, da učinkuje manj na stimulativno, na stimulacijo, je, ne deluje kot stimulans toliko kot pač v smislu euforika in pa snovi, ki v velik večji meri kot pa metkatinon sprošča serotonin, torej srečo v drugih besedah. Toliko o mefedronu, torej še enkrat povemo, učinki so podobni MDMA-ju, ekstaziju, nekoliko blažji, lažje obvladljivi, medtem ko je kemično podobnejši ketaminu in pa metamfetaminu, zaradi tega so tudi učinki te snovi farmakološko gledano veliko bolj škodljive, kot pa uživanje MDMA-ja, ki ga je, oziroma ekstaziju, ki ga je v svetu vedno manj in zaradi tega, ker se trg prepovedanih drog pač ta trg je enako hierarhično spostavljen kot recimo farmacevtski trg, se treba zavedati, da so vse snovi, nove snovi, ki pridajo na ta trg, je treba gledati stališča tistih, ki to proizvajajo, čim cenejša proizvodnja, čim večja možnost nastanka odvisnosti, kar pač ta substanca naj bi omogočala, če še gledamo druge, tako imenovane pozitivne posledice, torej lažje obvladovanje okolice pod njenim vplivom in pa veliko manjše posledice drugi dan, če jih primerjamo z drugimi snovmi, ki naj bi jih ta nadomestila. No pa prejdimo še na eno novičko, preden prejdemo na današnjo temo. Ta je seveda o zasedanju Združenih narodov, ki začrtavajo novo politiko do drog. Visoki del, kjer so sedeli ministri, tudi en predsednik Evo Morales, se je zaključil z petkom. Seveda pa se konferenca nadaljuje do 20. tega meseca. No, ampak še prej novička iz Danske. Če še pomnite, pred 4 oziroma pred 5 leti je policija in pa oblasti so prepovedale kakršnokoli prodajo drog, ki se do takrat tolerirala v Kristjaniji, ne, znanem, najbolj znanem delu Kopenhagna za mnoge. Z tistim dogodkom, ko se je pač prepovedala toleranca, ko se je začel preganjati prodajalce haša pa drugih zadev, se je počasi zelo učinkovito začelo preprodajanje drog na razno raznih krajih po Kopenhagnu, vse do te mere, da se je število kaznivih dejanj povezanih s tem potrojilo, da se je potrojilo tudi število ubojev v Kopenhagnu. V lanskem letu se je zabeležil 60 napadov z orožjem. Pred parimi tedni se je par motoristov zapeljalo mimo nekega lokala, ki ga obiskujejo Hells Angelsi, ki imajo pač tudi nek delež pri ponudbi prepovedanih snovi in ustrelil tri ljudi, žal oziroma same civiliste v smislu, da niso bili povezani ne s Hells Angels in ne z drogami. In takih pobojev je v Kopenhagnu, kot rečeno, trikrat več kot v preteklih letih. V daljši zgodovini Danska je šla do te mere, da je po hitrem postopku sprejela nove zakone, ki bodo omogočali hitrejši eksodus vseh tistih tujcev, ki se ukvarjajo z prepovedanimi snovmi iz države, ki bodo kaznovali vse prestopnike na področju prepovedanih snovi v veliko večji meri kot do danes. Minister za pravosodje je rekel, da bo policiji dal skoraj da vsa pooblastila, ki jih bo ta si želela v boju proti gengom. Seveda je posledica, kot priznavajo tisti bolj liberalni politiki in pa, kot vejo povedati, si tisti, ki se ukvarjajo strokovno z družbenimi pogoji, je pač sta posledici dve, torej zaprtje Kristjanije, kar je pomenilo, da se je več skupin začel boriti za prevlado na področju ponudbe drog. Drug problem pa je tudi objava karikatur v tem danskem časopisu izpred 4 let tegale Mohameda verjetno se spomnite, kakve so bile te slike z nekimi bombami na mesto turbanov in tako naprej, kar je še bolj ločil skupnost čistokrvnih dancev in pa prišlekov iz drugih dežel. Možnosti na marsikaterih pač nivojih od zaposlitve in tako dalje so se zmanjšale, etnični koncept je posel veliko bolj pomemben. Te skupine naj bi zahajale še toliko raje v drugo obliko zaslužkov, torej prepovedanimi drogami. In to so ta dva elementa, ki sta najbolj prispevala k današnjemu, kar pomeni, da se Kopenhagen sigurno v prihodnosti ne bo več uvrščil med tri najbolj varna mesta na svetu. Kot je pa vedel povedati politik iz njihove konzervativne stranke, ta je komentiral, da se bo zadeva celotna lahko rešila zgolj na en način, kajti hašiš je glavni razlog za boje in vso nasilje v Kopenhagnu in vsi tisti, ki si takega okolja ne želijo, naj preprosto prenehajo nakupovati hašiš. No, toliko z novičkami, zdaj pa en krajši glasbeni premor, nato pa k Združenim narodom. Zdaj pa preidimo na aktualno zadevo. In sicer na Dunaju to konstantno ponavljamo že zadnje dve leti, ker je bilo leta 2008, pač po desetih letih srečanja tega UNGAS-a, torej UN General Assembly Special Session, leto 98 v New Yorku, kjer so začrtali politiko do drog za 10 let. Lani, leta 2008, se pač svet, vse države članice so se sestale na Dunaju, proučile zadeve, ugotovile, da je manjka približno polovico poročil od različnih držav pa za različna obdobja. Prišla do sklepa, da je potrebno obdobje enega leta refleksije, da bodo za naslednjih 10 let ponovno lahko začrtali to politiko. V tem letu refleksije se ni nič reflektirali in zdaj so se zbrali 11. marca. Sestanek bo potekal vse do 20. marca. Tale high profile, torej visoki del sestanka komisije, pa je potekal do petka, od 11. do 13. marca, kjer so se pač sestajali ministri za zdravje in diskutirali novo politiko. Kot smo že omenili in kot smo predvidevali, zdaj so sestali pač sicer še draft political declaration, pa draft action plan deklaracijo za prihodnjih kar 10 let, čeprav so mnoge težnje po temu, da bi bilo to naslednje obdobje krajše, predvsem zaradi tega, ker recimo tudi Amerika naj bi počasi začela spreminjati svojo politiko, tudi zaradi tega, ker se ni nobena refleksija opravila. Kakorkoli že, v obeh teh deklaracijah se kaže na to, da Združeni narodi niso sposobni, pa vse članice, torej vsi ministri za zdravje vseh držav, niso sposobni si naliti čistega vina in se soočati z realnostjo, da so se vse tiste zadeve, ki so jih si zadali leta 98, ne samo, da se niso uresničile, temveč so se poslabšale, torej več se proizvede drog, večja je ponudba, da ne govorimo pa seveda vseh, tako jim pravijo, neželenih posledicah te vojne proti drogam, ki so dejansko katastrofalne, ampak to, kot so že mnogi med politiki in tukaj je treba pohvaliti Evropsko komisijo, ki je tudi oddala poročilo, ki gleda kritično na to zadnje 10-letno obdobje. Seveda smo lahko kritični tudi do Evropske komisije, ki je to poročilo držala za sebe vse do trenutka sestanka, kar je pomenilo, da se niti okrog tega ni mogel kaj dosti pogovarjati, zadeve poročiti in je bil samo še en papir, ki se ga je natiskalo in tudi na zasedanju se ga ni nekaj blazno obravnavalo. Kakorkoli že, v preostanku daje se pogovarjamo z Frederikom Polakom, doktorjem, psihiatrom, človek je že v penziji, ampak deluje na področju nevladnih organizacij, je kot član nevladne organizacije ENCODA, pač Evropskega združenja nevladnih organizacij na področju prepovedanih drog, ki se želijo alternativne politike do njih, je pač na tem zasedanju in nam bo znal več povedati, kaj vse se je tam prigodilo doslej. Naj povemo, dr. Polak je sicer že bil gost naše oddaje, je prvi zdravnik na Nizozemskem, ki je izdajal heroin na recept, je človek, ki je vodil urad za droge v Amsterdamu in deloval še na mnogih področjih drog v svoji bogati karieri. Pa poslušimo gospoda Polaka.
Well, there, I'm not sure if the press has picked this up yet. I haven't seen, because I left the Friday late, so I haven't seen it, but I left Friday, but Thursday evening the high-level segment came to a closure, and then there really is a rift, or how do you say it, a big split on the issue of harm reduction. But officially, they keep up the appearance of being in consensus. That's the interesting thing. It is how they manage to do this is really clever. There is a statement, a political statement in consensus, but the term harm reduction is not in that statement. I don't know if you heard about this.
For our listeners, I think what you mean is the difference between the repressive and the non-repressive aspects of harm reduction, isn't it?
Yes, but now it really focuses on whether the term harm reduction can be used or not, in the sense that
this far. Okay.
Many of the European countries mean it. And there are countries like Russia and Japan and Pakistan who are strongly opposed to this the usage of this term, and they succeeded in throwing it out of the official political declaration. And then at the end, I think 26 countries came up with a statement, and it was Germany that presented this, that they said that they keep to their own interpretation of the term harm reduction. And then a number of other countries, the countries that I just mentioned and a few others still, objected to this, and they say they don't accept this term, harm reduction. And then, you know, it simply went on and they closed the whole thing as if it was in harmony, which it was not in harmony. There was a big rift there. So what this means exactly for the future, it's not known. I can't foresee that, but I would say United Nations drug policy is broke, or how much you call that. There is a big difference of opinion there, and it's permanent now.
Mm-hmm. So there is no more this consensus that used to be seen at such conferences among different states.
They claim that they have made this political declaration in consensus, but in reality there is a big difference of opinion on it, which cannot be bridged. Mm-hmm. So it's quite interesting, and that's just on this subject. But what is behind it, I think, is that this conservative countries, that they don't want to discuss anything else but continuing prohibition. And the other countries would wish to have a more serious discussion on the fundamentals and maybe even of alternative policies. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that whole issue of alternative policies of course what we want of legal regulation of the drugs was not on the agenda, and it is not on the agenda. Now there are rumors that some countries want to have a kind of an UNGAS. You know, UNGAS is the term that has been used in 1998, that was 11 years ago, when it was a real top summit meeting. This year they did it on a lower level. The only real head of state who was there was, by the way, was Evo Morales of Bolivia. And there was the Queen of Sweden. Those two, she was, of course, is also a head of state, but she's not a head of the Swedish government. And Evo Morales is both. He is head of state and head of the government. I don't know if you heard about Evo Morales, what he did there.
Of course I did. I wanted to ask you about that. I mean,
can come back to that. Yeah. But a number of countries would want to discuss the whole basic thing of the prohibition. And there are rumors that they want to have a new UNGAS in 1 or 2 years, that they don't want to wait another 10 years now. Mm-hmm. But that's not yet clear what is going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, because in the draft political declaration it says that this is a political declaration and the action plan would last until 2019, and that states would meet again in 2014 and discuss what they've implemented from this.
Midterm evaluation, they call that, after 5 years. Mm-hmm. But it seems that also the Americans and France, even what I heard, seen an official statement of this, don't want to wait that long, that they want to have it already in 2 years. It may be that this is simply a rumor, but that's what I heard. It may be that in the coming days, next week, more clarity will come about on this subject. It's possible.
Okay, if we just one more thing about harm reduction. United States used to be a firm in firm disagreement with European Union, with European countries, more liberal countries when it comes to harm reduction. It was on the side almost with Russia, China, and such states.
Yeah, but harm United States, that used to be the case.
Exactly.
But this year, of course, with the new government, they are more, how do you call it, in a kind of an unclear and intermediate position. Mm-hmm. They did not say exactly what their position is. They tried to mediate between this group that wants harm reduction and the group that is opposed to it. They tried a bit to soften all this, so they want to buy time, I think.
All
the
right.
Americans, and it's clear that they don't have, the expression they use is they don't have their act ready yet. The new drug czar, his name is Kerlikowski, is the man who is nominated by Obama, but he's not yet accepted by the American Senate. So they can't plan their drug policies for the coming years. They don't have the people in function yet.
All right.
And that's a pity, of course. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, ENCOD has proposed to, at this time already, at this moment, to say we need a moratorium on drug policy. This can only be the start of a year of reflection. This cannot be the end of. There has been no serious reflection in the past year.
Yeah, it's been a year of reflection without any reflecting done at all.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. And there was no independent evaluation. I must correct this. There was one, but it was ready only the day before the start of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. We have an appeal on the website of ENCOD to acknowledge that there has been an insufficient independent evaluation and that there has been no serious reflection. So that must be started now. And this cannot be the start of a new period of 5 or 10 years of continuing of a kind of a George Bush drug policy. We now want the influence of Obama on the international drug policy, because that will probably make a big shift.
Okay. Now, the only thing that seemed important to the major press was Evo Morales chewing coca leaves.
Yes,
but him chewing coca leaves is actually very important to millions of people in Andean region, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a serious thing, legalizing coca not for cocaine, but for a traditional use and for uses in things such as teas and
yes, and also other types of food or, how do you call it, sweet or candy. Mm-hmm. There are different uses so that you can consume, or how do you say that, take in very small quantities of coca at a time, the way they have been doing it in those countries for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Now, Evo Morales, I know he was also in contact with the Spanish government between Zapatero, and they were Spain was supposed to have a positive influence on Bolivia's proposition to legalize the coca bush. But has this been at all an important part of this meeting, or has anyone taken seriously the proposal by Bolivia?
Well, that is, I have not seen it in the political declaration, and as far as I know, it has not been discussed seriously in the CND in the plenary. But there more is going on. There are all the time, you know, there are plenary meetings. There are what they call round table meetings that is then focused on a specific issue. And there are smaller meetings, bilateral or of a few countries. And it's too much is happening at the same time to really have oversight. But next week, or starting tomorrow, it will go on, and it may be that something will come out of that. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if you know the people of the TNI, the Transnational Institute.
Yeah, yeah.
Very intimate contact with the Bolivians, and they will know more about this.
What would you say the most important things you've seen till now were, both positive and negative?
Well, this split on harm reduction is really, how do you call it? It is a deep rift, and it is. I don't see how they are going to bridge it. The positions on both sides were hardened at the end of this last plenary that should have been the closure of the high-level segment in harmony, but the harmony was far away. So that is interesting for the coming period.
Toliko za danes v drugeriji, torej pogovarjali smo se s Frederikom Polakom, ki je kot predstavnik nevladnih organizacij prisostvoval v prvem delu Komisije Združenih narodov za področje drog na Dunaju. Ta del, visoki del tega sestanka, ki je pač potekel do petka. Še enkrat se bomo z njim pogovarjali, pa mogoče s kom drugim, v naslednji oddaji, ko se bo vedlo točno, kaj vse se je dosegel na tem sestanku, na tej komisiji, ker bo še potekala na nižjem nivoju vse do 20. marca. Z vami sem bil Matej, lep pozdrav.
I will tell you, Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics detective, that the agency has dealt drugs throughout this country for a long time.
Oh, don't give me the conspiracy bullshit. Come on. You're a more intelligent man than that.
What?
Come on.
Drogerija, oddaja vojni proti drogam, reguliranih zdravilih, ljudeh in družbah, ki uživajo te ali one psihoaktivne snovi. Drogerija, vsako drugo nedeljo opoldne na Radiu Študent.